I'm going to preach on this word today. And see what we can find out of the scriptures about this word manifest. In 2 Corinthians, well, let's start in the 1 Corinthians, the first letter Corinthians, chapter 3. He's talking here in chapter 3 about the laborers that give the gospel message and how they laid a foundation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In verse 11, he says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Jesus Christ and the knowledge of him as Savior, the only Savior, is the foundation that is the only foundation for true Christian living and for making it to heaven, for safely going from this life to the next. There is no other foundation for your life than that of the saving grace of Jesus Christ and Him alone. You can't be good on your own. You can't just keep Moses' law. You can't just be a pretty good person and have your good deeds outweigh your bad. You can't just believe everything. There's lots of things that people, they think that they can get to heaven with just fine, same as you or anyone else. But this says there's no other foundation than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Would it be merciful of the Lord to allow you to build a whole life upon something that was false and never warn you or never reveal to you that it was false, but for him to just kind of aid you and pat you and abet you and you would be fine in your own mind for years and years and years, your whole life, and then find out too late that you were doing wrong or you were believing wrong? I don't believe God would do that to someone who had started on his foundation of believing in Jesus Christ as Savior, and then to just go along building things into his life that weren't right. And God never come and deal with you and warn you about it. At least in our desires today, we want the Lord to come to us and make things manifest to us that are in our lives, to ourselves. Don't you? I do. I want the Lord. I want to, first of all, start out on the right foundation and build my faith and my hopes upon the right foundation, on Jesus Christ and Him alone. But what I put into my life after that, what I believe and what I teach, and the things that I set up in my life, the works that I do, if I would, let's say I would go and start a congregation of people and begin gathering people to believe a certain thing that I'm preaching and teaching to them, and it all be wrong. Wouldn't that be a travesty? It would be something I wouldn't want to carry on to the rest of my life, to the death. I would want the Lord to come in some way and make things clear to me. And that's what this word manifest means. It means, it means to make visible and to make clear. When the Lord makes something manifest to us, our works, Lord, this is our prayer, Lord, make my own works very clear to me, very visible to me, so that I can know what sort of work I have in my life am I building on my own self-righteousness? Are all of my beliefs and actions and things that I teach others, are they something that's going to be destroyed by when God's fire comes? Let's think about the fire in the judgment. I don't want to go to the judgment with a life that can just be consumed. I want to go with things that will endure. Jesus told his disciples, I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. I want fruit that would remain, not works that will be burned up. And so we want to make sure that everything that we do and that we believe is truly built of good, enduring materials on the right foundation. And what did he say would reveal this to us? Now, some people think that this day means the day of judgment. But I have thought and thought about this, and I really believe that the Lord would have us to have things manifest or made visible to us before that day. He wants us to have a life that's continually revealed to us, and we should pray that way. Lord, I don't want to be deceived. I don't want to believe something that's not true. It's not based on your word. I don't want to do things that later the fire of trials and tests and your judgments come through and reveal that that was all built on me. I don't want that. I don't want what we do here in this place to just be knocked over someday and everybody know, oh, that was just Sister Angela. That was everything that was set up there, just people just believed in her and followed her. You know, this has happened with people. It's happened where people have established movements and attracted followings of people, and they did everything that that man or woman said, and that person built a great big ministry around themselves, and then something came through and just toppled the whole thing, and people fell in chaos and ruin. And it revealed that person was building that whole system of church on their own person, their own personality, their own charisma, their ability to get a following. What happens when that happens and you have real people, real problems, real souls, eternity-bound souls that were a part of that? That's what's tragic. Is when people believe in somebody and then the Lord's fire come through and reveal and make manifest that was just a person in error. That was somebody that was puffed up. You can't have your trust in a person like that. You must have your faith securely in Christ alone. That's kind of the introduction for this, but I want to just speak several things about this word manifest. He said that the day would declare what kind of work we have. What is the day? To me, the day that he's talking about here is any given day of your life where you have trials, you have things that God sends into your life to make things manifest or visible or clear to you. What I have on hand. Have you ever had the Lord just a simple turn of conversation or something you just find out, just open up something to you about yourself, and you realize, this is really what's been motivating me. This is really what's inside me. And you just go, oh. And you find out, maybe you have a conversation with someone, and that person said, I knew that. And you say, why didn't you ever tell me? I'm just seeing this. Why hasn't anyone showed me this? There's just things about us sometimes that we cannot know until a certain time. And then God comes to us in mercy. Now, this kind of fire is a merciful fire. When he comes and he burns up the things in our lives that really don't amount to anything good anyway, and he reveals to us what we've really been about, what's really been our motivation. It can be embarrassing. It can be hard to deal with sometimes. You just want to get away, and and that's what we do. We get away and we face, Lord, what you have just manifested to me. what you have made clear to me. I can't hardly believe it, but I'm glad you didn't let me go on like this. I'm glad that whatever you have sent my way has revealed this to me, and I mean to get this out of my life. Now, in chapter 4, he talks about judging others. He talks about how that if I looked at myself many times, I wouldn't pass judgment on myself because I see myself as pretty good. What are some of the scriptures from the book of Proverbs? Every way of man is right in his own eyes. Or all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord tries the heart. You know, I'll just give you an example. This is a funny thing, but I noticed this, and I'm a woman, and so a woman might understand this better. But in my realm, we cook and we clean up a lot, right? So I notice when I go into other people's houses, every woman has her own way of doing stuff. And this example is loading a dishwasher. Okay, you know your dishwasher. You know what can go in it. You know how things get clean. You know how if you set certain dishes certain ways, it's not going to get clean because you've done it. You've tried it. You pull it out, it's not clean, and you look at it and you think, well, I can't put it that way. So you learn how to. And every woman does this. And every woman's way of dishwash loading is right in her own eyes. And if someone else comes in her kitchen, now this is true, but be honest with me. Some people may not even have an established way, but most of us people have our ways that we think are right. And you men have your little things about this too. Okay, a woman comes in another woman's kitchen and she loads this other woman's dishwasher. If you go out of the room, chances are the lady who owns the dishwasher is going to sneak over there and fix things that you just did wrong. Now, I know this is funny and I've laughed about it, but I'm guilty myself. It's just like you just, oh, the dish is not going to get clean the way she put that in there. Fix it. And you don't want to make your guest feel bad or anything, but you do want the dishes to get clean. And this is just an example, okay? This is how we are as people. Every way that we have, it's right to us. It's why we have it, okay? That's why we keep doing it, is because this is right to us. And your way, which is different, sometimes we as people get to thinking, your way's not right. Well, it's just different. Being different doesn't mean it's necessarily wrong. But this is us. This is how we are as people. So we need the Lord. When we're truly wrong, when we're truly in error, we're going to believe that we're okay for a long time. It might be that if we would judge ourselves, we wouldn't even notice. Now, this is out of line right here. I wouldn't know it. I wouldn't judge myself. That's what he said in verse 4. For I know nothing by myself or against myself. Yet am I not hereby justified in the grand scheme of things, in God's sight. I'm not going to be considered as right as I think I am, because there's just things that I don't know. What do we need? We need this word right here. We need God to do this for us. He that judgeth me is the Lord. I need to know that. Lord, you're the ultimate judge. Other people really can't judge me accurately, because a lot of people judge by appearances. People don't know what's in your heart. But we don't need to get all self-defense about that either, because we tend to do the same thing. We tend to judge other people by what we see, and we feel justified in doing that. They feel justified in doing that to us. Truly, God is the one who sees our hearts. But instead of that making us feel like all prickly and all at somebody who I think is judging me, it needs to make me feel more humble. God knows my heart. That's a fearful thing. He knows my motives. He knows what I'm really doing inside that I try to cover up, or that I justify knowing Sometimes we justify things knowing that, oh, I know I didn't really do my best. You ever see a child that's doing a job and they're very stealthy about it because they know they're not really doing what they should be doing? And they're not really, like if they, like a child has a job to sweep. Remember, I think I've told this story before about a dad giving his child some seeds, bean seeds, and telling him, you plant these every 4 inches down this row. And the children, I think there were two of them, one did what he was supposed to do, one got slack and began playing. And when his dad called, he had all these seeds left and not very many in the row, and he just dumped them in a stump and left. Well, the day declared what he had done. Seeds come up wherever you put them. You could wish they wouldn't. But at the end of the week, here's one child's row that has every 4 inches, and then here's one that's got one here, and then 4 inches later here, and then, oh, maybe 12 inches later here, and then you skip about 6 feet, and you have some there, and then at the end, here's a stump that's got 100 beans growing out of it. The little boy didn't think, he was just too young to think through that, but that's what happened. The day declared what he had done. That's what's going to happen. He that judges me is the Lord, and it ought to humble us, and I ought to know. If I really want to live for the Lord, I do want to go to heaven someday. The Lord's going to come along and make some things clear to me. He's going to show me what's going on. And that's what he says. Therefore, judge nothing before the time. Really, when we're looking at other people now, we ought to wait and be real, real merciful on people. And we think, they're going to get it. God's going to get them for that. You just wait. Don't be passing judgment. Don't be looking down on them because we go through the same things that other people go through. But realize the Lord's going to come, and not just at the last day, but in mercy, he comes and he brings hidden things to light. What does it say? He'll both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise or favor of God. Oh, we want the Lord to do that, don't we? Do we? It might be embarrassing. It might be embarrassing for everyone to know. I think there's a scripture in Luke where Jesus says that. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 17. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hidden that shall not be known and come abroad. What if the Lord takes the hidden things of darkness in your life and manifest them? It's just better for us to try to live as much as we know in the clear. Everything that you do, if you've done it wrong, have the courage to confess it. Have the courage to come to your parents or whatever and say, look, I just dumped all the beans in the stump down there. And that's so much better. You know what? That begins establishing in you integrity. If you'll be honest with little things in your life and make them manifest. Because you know what? God's going to make them manifest after a while. In love and mercy to us, he does this. God will bring to light the hidden things of darkness. He's going to, nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest. And I'm thankful, again, to know this happens before the last judgment. But what if? What if you resisted all of God's efforts and you kept your life hidden? And everything that you, I remember this at school. There was a boy who always got excellent behavior award every quarter. Every time we had a school assembly, there was a young boy there that he got the excellent behavior award. Why? He never fought with anyone. He never hardly even talked to anyone. He didn't throw spit wads. He didn't sass the teacher. He never made a wave. He never was in trouble. And he always got the excellent behavior award. I don't know if I even got that. I tried, but I was a little more mouthy than I should have been. And I didn't always get that good award, but that boy always got it. But then he transferred or didn't come to school anymore. And in going through his work, every student had to score their own work. In going through his work, they made a big discovery. He had taken the score pen and written in all the answers. When he went to score his work at the score table, he was very, very good at what he did. And all those years that he got those excellent behavior rewards, he was cheating. He cheated on everything. He wrote all the answers in his lightly underneath, and then he would write on top of them when he got back to his desk what he had just found out from the score key. That really made an impression on me. I thought, wow, people can really, really fool you. But unfortunately, there's someone that he cannot fool. I don't know where that person is today. That's been 30-some years ago. But I wonder if he continued in that way of life, always cheating, always underhanded, always not facing. Look, if you can't answer something, there's help. There's somebody who will take you and help you and tutor you and explain to you. This is what I wish somebody could have known the first year that he tried that. Look, we care about you. If you can't get it, come and let's have some one-on-one sessions. But that poor boy didn't have that. He didn't have that, I don't know, courage, whatever it was. Maybe he didn't feel comfortable, he didn't feel free, but the only way he could feel like he could get through was to cheat. I think there are people in their lives who are like that too. They really want to be looked upon by other people as good people. Some people want to be a preacher. Some people want people to really think well of them, but they don't live a life that's manifest, that's clear. Let's keep on going in this. Let's go to 2 Corinthians now. Remember in 1 Corinthians 4 where he said that the Lord will come and bring to light the hidden things of darkness. Now Paul in 2 Corinthians 4, he says this, chapter 4 and verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Now, truly, if a person is going to work for God, this has got to be basic. This has got to be in the life. Why would a person ever establish working for God, trying to preach to others? This blows my mind. How anyone could do this. This has been done. A person that has a life that's not clear, but they endeavor to instruct others and become a person of who knows things, who people go to, an authority on the subject, and yet have a hidden life. That's tragic, isn't it? It can happen. It has happened. But he says, we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Jeremiah said, cursed be the man that does the work of God deceitfully. Cursed is he. Not handling the word of God deceitfully. This is a very fearful thing. This is really what got me started on this message was, I read this and it struck my mind so forcibly that a person who ministers to others has to be clear. They have to be perfectly clear in their lives. We can't be this way, to have hidden things of dishonesty, craftiness, handle God's word deceitfully. But he said, but by manifestation of the truth. Here's this word again, only in a little different form. This is the noun form, manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Now, how could I? This would be kind of a test, a self-test. Could I commend myself, the manner in which I live my life, the way that I read God's word and apply it or don't apply it, the way that I do everything, could I commend it to you today and say, if you'll live this way, you'll make it to heaven? You'll be clear in your life if you live just like the way that I live. Could I do that today? That's quite a thought, isn't it? I don't know, is that what that means? That's kind of how I took it. Maybe I'm wrong. But I believe we can live a clear life. I think there's some kind of a product, and I can't remember what it was, but it was a long time ago, a slogan for a product that said, the closer you look, the better we look. What was that? It wasn't Chevrolet, was it? I don't know. I just thought maybe some of you would know it. But that kind of scrutiny was welcomed by that company because they had confidence in their product. The closer you look, the better we look. And so they advertised that way, and that's how they got business. Surely that ought to be us as Christians. We ought to be able to say to people, I commend my life to your conscience. You having maybe a very scrupulous conscience, maybe very tender, could I recommend my life to you? Could you look at me and be able to say, I could go to heaven with that? That's a very fearful thought to me. That's not how it's really going to be. No one is going to answer for me at the judgment, and I will answer for no one. Each one of us is going to stand before God at the judgment for ourselves. But here in this life, we're dealing with one another. We are commending ourselves to other people's consciences all the time because we're saying to them, you follow me as I follow Christ. You do what I do and you'll make it to heaven. Really, that's what we're saying when we preach the gospel or when we witness to others. We're telling them, my life is what it's going to take to get to heaven. Oh, how careful we ought to be then in the hidden things. He said, we, by manifestation of the truth, not just speaking the truth, but manifesting the truth. And then he goes on and he said in verse 5, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And ourselves, we're just servants for Jesus' sake. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts. Now I want you to get a picture of this. Get a picture of this. God has commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Jesus Christ, he came as a light to the world. The darkness could not overcome him. There was great darkness when Christ came to the world. It was a time of terrible darkness. But he began to shine. He shined in a few hearts. He shined out of those hearts to other hearts. Pretty soon there were thousands. It grew. Persecution tried to stamp it out. It only grew exponentially with persecution. It just multiplied. It went all over the world. Last night we were reading how that Paul had a journey to Rome. He had been on 3 missionary journeys, but he had never been to Rome. But when he got to Rome, guess what? There were Christians already there. They had been scattered because of the persecution. That's the way this thing, it grew by leaps and bounds. The darkness did not overcome the light of the gospel. So it shined in our hearts. God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts. Now what's happening from that point? To give light, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So I have Christ in me, a light, that when people look at me, they see the face of Jesus. This is the way it's supposed to be. This is the real reason why I need a clear life. I need to manifest. I need things to be manifest to myself so that all is clear. Because here's what I really need. I really need the light of God to be in me, to shine out to others now, the face of Jesus Christ, not me, not my face, not my person, not my charisma, but Jesus Christ. So I've got to have a clear life in order to shine Jesus Christ out to the world. He has shined in our hearts to give a light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I've got to see him for myself. When I see him, and that's what he says here in verse 18 of previous chapter, we behold as in a glass or a mirror the glory of the Lord. We're changed into that same image. It's like it's the image imprinted on us that we see. It's imprinted on us, and then guess what? We shine it out to others. They see it. Then it goes into their hearts, and this is why it grows. This is how it's also a corporate thing. I want to give you an illustration in just a minute, but let me finish here. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. When I was a little girl, I was taught this song. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Who is that the song is talking about? What little light? Do you know who it is? Who? God, that's right. But you know what? Years later, I went as an adult I had a young friend in the trailer park where we lived. She invited me to her fourth grade program, maybe. I went there, and I knew it wasn't a Christian school, it was a public school. But all of a sudden, the piano player started the intro of this song. I said, they're going to sing This Little Light of Mine. So they began to sing This Little Light of Mine. But guess what? They weren't singing about Jesus. The emphasis of that song was that you are the light. Every one of those children had been taught that I am a light. Just me. No, there's no God involved here. And I went away from that so sad. I thought, we don't have light in and of ourselves. We're dark without Christ. Why are they teaching those children that you are it? You're the light. Shine your light. It really made me sad. He said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. It's not me. It's not of me. It's Christ. He has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And he goes on and he talks about troubles and perplexities and persecutions and all of these things, verses 8 and 9. In verse 10 he says, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. I know when we began to be very troubled with afflictions and stuff in our home, the scripture took on a new meaning for me. And I began to realize, Lord, I have begged for you to shine out of my life in the best way that you can. And I want to be a witness for you. And it seemed like the Lord was letting us know there is no other way except through afflictions, except for you to be troubled on every side. That's how I'm going to shine out of you. Because he says here we're bearing about in our bodies the dying of the Lord Jesus, so that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest. This word again, what does that word mean? It means visible. It means clearly known. It means I appear. That's really the root word. It means I appear. Do you want Christ to appear in your life and be manifest to others? I do. He said it's through bearing about in our body the dying or the sufferings of the Lord Jesus. I remember when my brother was very afflicted with seizures, and he asked God one time, why do I need this so bad? And the Lord spoke to him and said, this is not just for you, this is for people who look on you. This is for others too. And it made a lot of sense to him, and he renewed his willingness and consecration to bear that. He did to the end. He said, which, verse 11 now, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. We want the life of Jesus to appear to everyone. Now that, then in chapter 5, he again mentions Let's start at verse 10. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or whether it be bad. Whether it be good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord. This word terror, it means the awe and the reverence that God inspires in our hearts. We persuade men. This word means we make friends of men. We persuade them, or we win them. We make them friends of God. That was a new meaning to me, but I really believe that fits here. We are made manifest unto God, and I trust are also made manifest in your consciences. We want not only to be clear before God, but we want to live before people a clear life, a really clear life. We want our children and our grandchildren to be able to know us as they know us and to know that we're true inside. I know of no other thing that turns off children or grandchildren or relatives or whatever than if the parents who profess very high professions, the children begin to know, Daddy, Mama, they don't really have it. They don't really have it inside. They say it, but they don't mean it. Now, I've known people who were very honest with their children, and they would tell their children, this is how you're supposed to live, but I'm not living it that way. But there are people that do, and this is really how you're supposed to live. And you know they have saved children today because they were honest with them and said, I'm not there yet, but I know this is what's right. There is a place for us to be just that transparent with ourselves, with our spouses. Just, I don't know, Dan was talking about back in his young days, he observed one time a man who marched into the chapel intending to preach. Congregation didn't know him. Just imagine that scene here, what we would do. Anyway, the congregation didn't know the person. He and his wife came in and she sat down and he intended to preach. He got on up there and the pastor stopped him and said, Brother, the Bible says, know them that labor among you, and we don't know you. And the man got angry, and he stomped out, and he slammed the door. Now, what was made manifest right there? Who he really was. That was made manifest. Would you want a preacher that preached to you that had that kind of a temper when he was crossed? No. But that was made manifest. When the man didn't get his way, he threw a little tantrum. And I was talking to Dan. I said, wonder what it was for his wife sitting there. I would venture to say she knew about the tantrum throwing before that ever happened. Because when you live with a spouse, you know when they can get angry. She'd probably seen the tantrum before. She'd probably seen him preach before and think, if people just knew what kind of person he is.
She sat through the remainder of the service.
Dan said she sat through the remainder of the service and then left quietly later. But I'm just thinking, maybe she thought, at last, someone showed him up for what he really is. I know what he really is. That happened. I wonder if the man got home and thought about it. I wonder if his wife went home and said, they didn't fall for you. I don't know. That's just, you know, those are real people that really happened. I just wonder what happened after that. What do we manifest? Are we made manifest to ourselves? We are manifest always before God. God always knows who we are and what we've got on hand. But we need it made clear to us. And many times it's made clear to others. There's a way in the book of James. I was thinking a lot about the importance of this right here. In the book of James, chapter 5, he talks about prayer. How much are we willing to do to have prayers answered? Here's what it costs some people, and this is what he advised. But I can just see this in the New Testament church. After you saw Ananias and Sapphira drop over, you think you had a mind to be a hypocrite after you saw that? I don't think so. I'd say it brought such fear. And here's what they taught back there. In verse 14, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. The Lord wanted this effort, the manner of doing things here, to reach all the way into the soul. He wanted people not only to be healed of their diseases, but made free from sin. And then he goes on and he says, confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You think of the power in that verse. You think of the power of opening up myself, commending my life to your conscience, so to speak. Letting the things in my life be manifest. That's one of the blessings of a time where we have testimonies in prayer service, where we have opportunities for people to express themselves. Not just the preacher to get up and all the congregation kind of be spectators, but this puts you into the action. This puts you into a process that's good. It's a good process for a gathering of God's people. And it doesn't have to be in a gathering. It could be one-on-one where you can go to someone and say, I need to confess what's coming out of me. I need some help here. Don't you know there's power in confession, in making things clear? There's a great power in saying, I've got this weakness, and I need real help. I think that's one of the things about going to a meeting where there's people there that you know they don't know you. You know they don't. But they might, a minister maybe from 2,000 miles away may get up and describe the spiritual needs in your life. That's an amazing thing. And it deals with you. It jars you in a way like, oh, the one lady, Sister Blenda Simon, she said the first time she ever went to a congregation of the saints, and she said the minister got up. She said, she didn't know me, but I thought she sure must have been talking to my mother because of the way that she described my life. And it convicted her heart. And that's one thing the scriptures say, that whenever they come and when unbelievers come into the congregation of the saints and they hear the secrets of their heart being made manifest, and it causes them to believe God's in you. That's what we want. We want this word manifest. There's several things here that I see working in it, in our lives, but we want God to work his power of cleansing and healing and forgiving in us. This is the way. I told you that I had a little illustration. Here's what I wish could be done. I wish I had a whole bunch of clear Legos and a way, little Lego blocks, okay? You get what I'm saying? Little Lego blocks that are perfectly clear. And a way to put a little light in each one of them. And then you could build a little building, a little model building. I don't know how it would look. It would be maybe just a square building. But each little Lego would have a light in it. And when you put them all together, each one had a light, and then there would be a light in the middle of that, of those four walls. And you would illuminate that thing. Or I even thought about, you know, those glass blocks that people use in home decor? they're just like bricks, only they're glass. Wouldn't it be neat to build a building and each one of them have a light, and then there'd be a light in the middle of it? To me, that's a picture of Christ and his church. Every one of us is like a little clear Lego block. If you allow your inside or outside to get all dirty so that the light is not visible. You ever see a dirty candelabra cover, a hurricane glass or whatever, that got so bad you could hardly see? Headlamps on a car. You go mudding, what happens? You better clean off the mud off the headlights, or you're not going to have headlights. That mud causes the light not to be seen. We want Jesus Christ to be seen. We want him to be manifest in us. We want to be those little clear blocks. And then not just, God didn't ever intend us to just stand alone, but he builds us together as a church. Every single one of us clear. Every single one of us with a light in us that's Christ. And then when you build us together, he comes and he dwells in the middle of us. And he is a light and he shines out. And there's a verse that describes this, and it's in Psalms 50, and it says, out of Zion, which is the church, out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God has shined. We want God to be manifest to the world. How are we going to do that? We've got to have clear lives. In Revelations, you read of a building. He calls it Zion in Revelations. And he said, the stones are crystal clear in the wall. That's where I got the idea. I thought, I wish I had 1,000 Lego blocks that were clear, that I could build this little model. Just make a picture of it somehow. And I thought, if I could talk to a graphic art designer and say, can you build for me digitally? Build me a clear block and then allow me to build all those together, and I want light on the inside of every one. You think you could do it? You think a graphics designer could do that? Probably could. I would love to make that picture of God's church as just an object lesson. Now, how's your time? Are we okay? I want one more manifest from God's word here. And that's in 1 John chapter 3. I saved the best till last. Okay, we've been talking about us being manifested to ourselves and to others, to God. God being manifested through us to the world. And now there's something else at the very end of things that's the best manifest of all. Look at this. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God? Yes, we are. It's a reality. Even though we don't see him, we believe in him, we love him, we rejoice in him, but we don't see him. We are the sons of God now by faith. But listen to this. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Do you know exactly how you're going to be if you serve God and in the resurrection you're raised up with a new body, glorified? Can you tell me and explain to me just how that's going to be? No, because eye has not seen, neither have ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man what God's prepared for them that love him. He reveals things to us by his Spirit, yes, but we really, in another place he said, now we know in part. We only know just a little bit. But it said, then we shall know even as also we are known. Did you know the way God knows you now? The way things, the perspective that he has now, we don't have that. We only know in part. But then, at that day, we're going to know as we are known. And here he says, it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know this. We know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, For we shall see him as he is. You know, this word appear is the same word that we've been talking about. When he is manifest, this is the same word. We shall be like him when we see him just as he is. That word just, nearly all of the translators translate it just like that. You could write it in your Bible. To me, it adds meaning. We shall see him just as he is. When we see him like that, we'll be made like him. When he is manifest to us like that, when we see him as he is right now, we believe in him whom we've never seen. But one of these days, he's going to be manifest. Isn't that a wonderful thing to think about? I love to think about it. I'm going to see him just as he is. It's a fearful thing, too, because people who think they have a deal with God and they've kind of controlled God and they kind of, and it's a little casual thing with them about God, when you see him as he is, what's going to happen? Every knee shall bow. And every tongue will confess. You won't do it because somebody pulled it out of you. When you see him as he is, every bit of sham or hypocrisy or casualness is going to fade away. You're going to bow on your knees. But when you and I have been going through this process of, Lord, judge me now, manifest me now, manifest yourself to me in my spirit, help me to manifest you to others, when we have gone through that, and we've purified ourselves by trusting in him and confessing our faults and praying to him and crying to him and laying out our lives before him. He says here, every man that has this hope in him of seeing him just as he is, he purifies himself. He goes willingly through these processes. He bears the persecution. He bears the trouble on every side because I want Jesus Christ manifested in my life. I want to be known as only somebody who really follows Jesus. When my children think about mama or daddy, whoever I am, I want them to know he didn't only preach it, but he lived it. I can say that about my father. He not only preached it to me, but he had a life. He lived it. When we do that, and we see him as he is, then there's an immediate change, and will be changed to what he is. Oh, thank the Lord this morning for these wonderful treasures in God's word.